Hello.
Darling, how's it going?
Pretty good, dude.
That's
just
wonderful.
Stepped out of my apartment to record a podcast. Yeah, that's what we do. This is called Normal Day. Fun greetings, the podcast.
That's wonderful. That's fabulous.
Here's some fun greetings you can use for your friends. Hi, how are you? How was your day? Is your grandmother still dead?
Yeah, that works.
Does it? Because it was meant to be a joke, but you know.
Was I supposed to laugh at that? Or?
I guess you took it seriously, which is not wasn't the intent. You know,
because she came
back
and it was really awkward.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, it was really awkward. We were like, oh, shit.
Why did she come back when you were masturbating? Like, what happened? What was awkward about it? Because I would be overjoyed to see my grandmother again, you know?
No, she came back and she had this, like, weird tattoo on her leg. And it's weird. She was, like, a lesbian.
So, you let me get this straight, Daniel. You, instead of being overjoyed that your grandmother was back from the dead, you were upset because she had a leg tattoo and... was a lesbian? Like, what?
She came back with her partner. No, it's just a shock because we buried a body. So,
all right. Well, then, did she bring a partner back from the grave with her, or was it just her?
Nah, it was her and Lucille.
So she came back from the dead, didn't bring somebody with her from the dead. So she's the only one. She's the only zombie we're talking about. And then she went into a bar and picked someone up.
I'm saying, like, she might have faked her death and put someone else's body in her place.
Oh, that's really scary. That's really diabolical.
Yeah, she could have just come out to us. She didn't have to go all, you know, all that, you know? Made it really challenging for my grandfather.
Oh, I bet. He was like, Linda, listen here. If you don't put your ass back in the ground, I'll do it for you.
Your grandmother was always a tricky bitch. It's like, yeah, that's true.
Old Grandma Clay sure was slippery.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Strict.
Well, how are you, dude?
I'm great. I'm doing great. Life is good.
Yeah.
This is a very, I would say, like, weird part of my life right now. The next couple of months are going to be pretty cool. But
you're moving, right?
Not entirely. Like, so, my spouse, Saba, lives in San Francisco right now. And I live here in Texas. And I'm going to be going back and forth for the next couple of months.
So why aren't you moving?
Because I have a contract with an organization here. So, but I also have a contract with an organization there. So it's just weird, you know, just the shit you do to make money.
Yeah.
You know,
that's different, dude. That's going to be crazy. How long are you going to keep that arrangement up?
Just until January.
Well, that's not too bad. I mean, that's like 3-4 months.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like a long time.
Well, it is when you're married to someone though.
Yeah. She's already sent me the text of, like, I'm not talking to you until you get here.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean? So she won't talk to you over the phone?
Like, I don't know. She's taking it really personal. She's taking it really personal that I'm not there with her the whole time. Which is it's very strange because the whole reason why I'm here is so I can make money so that we can afford to be there. It's just give and take with love and all that, you know. I'm all about
that's
money, though. That's all I care about, really, is making money.
Yeah, that's what we call you, old Moneybags Clayton.
Yeah.
I used to come into the shed, and you'd just be sitting there counting shekels, just little gold coins. It's like that. You go, Daniel, that's really weird. The weird part was when you filled a kiddie pool up with nickels and you just dove into it.
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah,
it's not like DuckTales, man. It's just like, well,
this was my thing. I ran in there and I went, Daniel, that's not even an impressive amount of money. That's like $45 at best.
And they were dirty nickels.
Yeah, it just tasted like a pool of blood. Did you see that Billie Eilish video where she was saying that she liked the taste of blood?
She's just... I don't know if I...
You there? Did you get in your car? Is that what happened?
No. No, I don't know if I take anything that comes out of her mouth seriously, because one, she is kind of like
the next, 12-year-old.
Yeah, the next Bieber. You know, she's like totally like a music industry object. You know, so
she's so weird because she's 17. So it's like that automatically makes her hard to take seriously. And then two, like her music is so artificially edgy, you know, like you listen to it, like Bad Guy is just about bondage. That's all it is. Yeah. Right. And then you like she's 17. And then on top of that, she was homeschooled too. So it's like, how am I supposed to take you seriously? Like you were just watching VeggieTales like 2 days ago, dude. You know,
do like, you feel like an, a camaraderie with her because she was homeschooled?
I mean, it's cool that somebody broke out, don't get me wrong, but like I still kind of evaluate her. Yeah, like I still evaluate, but it makes me understand her psychology a little bit better. I'm like, well, of course you're into bondage. Your first crush was Larry the Cucumber, you know? Like I get where you're coming from. I understand. Like this is this whole thing. But like I don't know. Like the thing that I feel is it's just like she's just another normal person, you know? Like I don't see her that differently than anyone else. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, Billie Eilish is the shit. She was homeschooled. Like, no. Like, I don't feel that camaraderie with people. Like, I don't get to accept the dorks that were homeschooled. Why should I just get to accept the cool people, you know?
You like, think she's cool?
No, but if she was, even, I couldn't. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just be a fair-weather friend. I've either got to support everybody or nobody, you know?
You know, what's really crazy is... like this like public persona, like being like super famous, like being known is one thing, but being like super famous, like Tom Cruise famous or Harrison Ford famous, it's like a huge curse on someone's life.
Yeah.
It's a horrible burden to carry. And you know, so I saw this like clip of Katy Perry. I guess she was like talking to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She's and that's not her name, it's Kate Hudson, but
close enough.
It was Katy Perry the persona, and like she was talking about how damaging it is, how she always feels like she has to be Katy Perry and nobody appreciates Kate Hudson.
And Katy Perry in the like, streets, Kate Hudson in the sheets, am I right?
Yeah, like she's like all missionary, like super boring. Yeah.
The opposite of her persona.
Yeah, the opposite. She like cooks like, you know, hot pockets.
Her man's like, could you be on top tonight? She's like, no.
Just laying there.
Nope. To do that for people on stage. We're gonna go straight mish, nothing else.
Yeah. So was that good for you or
yeah, so who was that on that record? Well, you gotta think for some of these people. It's like did you watch the last episode of Black Mirror?
I gave up on that show. I'm sorry. But
no, it's fine. Let me tell you the plot. So it has Miley Cyrus in it, right? And the plot line is that there's this girl who is a teen sensation and like all the girls love her and they listen to her and they're big on her music and shit. But she does like really uplifting, like peppy music.
Yeah.
And then she decides that she wants to make shit that's really edgy and like play like Nine Inch Nails or some bullshit. And so her aunt locks her away and then like puts her into a forced coma and then gets a scientist to like get into her brain so he can extract cool music from her, or like, you know, fucking shitty pop music from her, so that she can keep making hits even after she's dead. So one, it's extremely contrived because it's like you're talking about scientific shit that can go into there's one scene in particular where it's like, you know, the scenes in like NCIS where they go enhance, like they'll have security camera footage.
That's
and they'll
real
just like
thing,
zoom
though,
in even more
sad. But
dude, yeah. That's so wild that that is. But you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. In 2003, it wasn't even kind of feasible, right? And people were looking at it going, this is bullshit. Like, CCTVs are such garbage. You can't zoom in more than once without being able to see anything.
Oh, but them FBI agents can. Like, what was he drinking? Oh, that looks like a Pepsi.
They can, like, zoom in now on anyone's phone in the world, dude.
Pass me the Funyuns. You know? It's pass like all me those, the like, Funyuns. I was watching Mindhunter. Sorry, I'm not trying to change the subject.
No, you're
I'm
going
to hop
good.
Back on this train. But I was watching Mindhunter, and, like, the product placements were so overt. And like, the new season. It's just, like, there's this one scene where they're just in the office, and, like, Greg has, like, a Sprite, like, a giant, like, cup that just says Sprite, and he's drinking out of it. It's, like, totally out of place. It's like, all right, whatever. I guess Wayne's World.
What if they did product placement, but the company was Trojan Condoms, and they just had to, like, put Trojan Condoms in scenes where they don't belong at all? Like, there's just four dudes, like, it's an office setting,
yeah,
and the guy's just like, well, I better reach in here and grab some coffee, and he opens up the pantry door, and there's just a, like, box of Trojans in there.
Yeah, and it's just like, or it's like a plot in the freaking show where it's just like, oh man, like, it busted, and then she gets, you know, she has the baby, and then it's like, he's talking to his buddy, and he goes, hey, don't buy that cheap stuff. Get the Trojans.
They build the whole show around it so they can sell it.
It's like,
there's
an
Indian TV show that does that. The guy's he's a gum salesman, though. Okay. So, like, at the end of him beating up all the bad guys, he'll, like, throw a stick of bubble gum in the air and just, like, bite it out of the air and walk off all cool. So they, like, literally build every scene to where the final act can be him chewing bubble gum, which is just so funny. Isn't that great?
Yeah, the Hindu aesthetic is interesting to me. Just the, it's weird because it's not Western, but
yeah,
you're like,
it's just different.
Like, why are they flipping their hair all the time like that?
Yeah. It's so different. It's like, I want to give a quick shout out. Yeah, here, actually, y'all check out my man Vinu Malesh on YouTube. He's this Indian guy who released a song like 6 years ago called It's My Life that was simultaneously the best and worst song ever recorded. And, like, it rocked my world when I heard it the first time because, like, it had literally like 20 million views or something. Like, so many people had watched this freaking video. And I realized half who had watched it and gone, this is amazing. And half of the more people in America who went, this is garbage. How does anyone watch this? It was the first time I'd seen that happen. And now, really? Like, The Room is famous, which is the same concept where it's like, no one liked that movie sincerely, but now people like it sincerely because it was so bad and they have memories that are built up around it.
Yeah. Well, WWE is like that.
You know? Yeah, for sure. Because it's just crap acting.
It's complete crap. And like, what's sad is those guys actually, like, die doing that shit. You know,
it's so, like, crazy.
But some, it's fake, and then they do it, like, they just do some, they're just destroying their bodies. But I don't know. It's a weird performance. You know,
it is weird. And then they build all of this hype up around it too. So they do this thing, like, they call it kayfabe. Well, you're never supposed to break kayfabe, which is like pretending like it's not real for more than 2 seconds. Which I wouldn't be able to do. I would be in the middle of a scene or whatever they call it, and I would just start giggling because it'd be so ludicrous, you know? It'd just be so over the top, I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Well, it's like they're coming out with the XFL. Like, they're bringing that back.
Oh,
so the same people that are doing WWE are going to have a fake NFL teams.
Oh, damn.
Where they play football. I don't know, like,
that's pretty wild.
They're like, they're not real NFL players, but they still have to win.
So what is it, when you say XFL, they have to, like, pretend like they're hitting each other, but they're not?
No, they're hitting each other, they're playing football.
What is it, so it's all staged still?
But,
like, how does that work?
It's kind of, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's a stage thing. Like, maybe they do extra moves in the, you know, like the red zone, whatever. They're like doing flips and stuff. Like,
it's just gymnastics tacked onto football.
Yeah. They're doing like a freaking pile bind driver from nice. Standing on top of the goalpost. One guy might pick up the goalpost and like take out half a team.
That's really cool. Or like they got to do the extra point, and a guy comes out with a long pole and just vaults over it with the football.
Yeah, you know, just like weird cool. shit like that. Or they're just like nice. Carrying chains and just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, a guy rides on with one of those bugs from Mad Max. Just
yeah, they got
just mows people down.
They have one character that's just ATV. He just rides a four-wheeler the whole time. It's like, damn, nobody can catch him.
There's another character, and he's a little kid from Mad Max with the boomerang. He just pops out occasionally. boomerang at people. It's great. There's another one. Wait, what was that other weird character? Oh, in Mad Max, they did that thing where like they had the women lactating, and they were like taking the milk and then feeding it to different like I don't know what you call it, like Demogorgons or some shit, like the bad guy's henchmen. You know, it was so weird.
That is weird.
Mad Max is so good at that. It's so good at making those like surreal characters.
Yeah.
So point of the story is, if XFL doesn't get the same guy who did Mad Max, then it's gonna be shit.
I'm sure.
That's what I need in my life.
It's gonna be actually like it could eclipse the NFL because like half that shit's fake anyways.
What the NFL?
Yeah.
You think it's fake?
Dude, with sports betting, man, I would not doubt that there's some weird fixing going on, you know, especially with like fantasy sports and,
yeah,
you know, because you can like bet on the individual player, you know, like
that's true.
So if like, let's say he like gets his leg hurt and he's out one game, you can net someone a lot of money. Like, I don't know if there's stuff like that going on, but I have a feeling.
It's like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's just like I was watching, you know, it's like the Texas Tech game, you know, like the national championships. How we got there, I don't know. We played well, I guess. But like at the end, we were playing pretty good, and the calls kept coming out negative. And it was very strange. It was like, oh, what's, I mean, we're playing like shit, but we're also getting shit calls.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's going on here? I'm not a sports guy at all, but I just...
I don't know anything. I wouldn't know whether they're playing garbage or not. I only keep up with soccer, man. So, like, and I can tell you for a fact, that shit, if it is faked, it's the best job of faking it in the world. Like, the entertainment quality is still so high. You got to think that about the NFL, too, dude, because it's like, even if it is fake, like, the entertainment value is still so high for so many people. Yeah. Like, that deserves some sort of award. Like, that's an art form if they're quote-unquote faking it. But, I mean, maybe you're not talking about them faking it.
Hello?
No, yeah, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, the app... Okay, audience, the app we're recording on, it's excellent. And we love Anchor.
Let's just start there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just... it's a little tricky.
Occasionally, it just disconnects randomly. Or, like, at the end of the last episode... There was like a 5-second latency between you and me for like probably a full 5 minutes where it was like I would be replying to something in the future, you know?
Yeah, that's funny.
It just looked like I was a time traveler. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to say our audience loves us and they're still going to listen to this shit. So,
yeah, come and get it. Yeah. Come out with a big old, big old pot of slop.
Get on in there.
Hogs. Get in here, boy.
Eat up.
We're going out to the, whenever I go record a podcast, I'm going out to the hog barn. See you later, lady. We'll walk outside, put a fresh plate of slop down. Oh my god. The audience really is the gift that keeps on giving though, because it seems like whenever we put something out, they immediately are back on it.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's like flies on shit, dude.
They really want this going. Shit.
I know, man.
That's funny.
So funny.
I am so you're doing well? Things are going good for you?
Yeah, pretty good. Trying to think. I've been doing a lot of comedy up here. Like, things are starting to get busy finally. I feel like it took a while to kind of get into the scene a little bit, but now I'm getting booked for more shows and stuff and starting to get into the swing of things a little bit more. But it's just kind of nice. The thing I've realized is like, it's like, I feel like as I grow up a little bit more, it's easier for me to just be funny with people. You know, a lot of my problem has always been insecurity and just being more secure in who I am and kind of what is funny about me makes me funnier, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's also like the freedom of the city, you know. You could do something fucking crazy and just turn the corner and nobody knows, you know.
That's true, too. Like, but I've also seen some weird shit. Care, that is true. There is a lot of weird shit that goes down in a city that you don't expect. I saw a dude pull out a knife on a train a while back.
Yeah.
That was pretty wacky. And then, I don't know. I've seen dudes in fights. The other day, this is so funny. And I'm not even lying when I do this. I'm gonna do this whole thing, right? So I was walking outside of the Safeway after I grabbed some groceries. And there was this old, like, homeless guy. And he was dressed all in camo. And he was standing outside. And this little old, like, Korean dude passed by him. And he went, "Are you gonna come into my shop and steal my stuff again?" And the homeless guy looked at him and said, "Hey, get the fuck out of here, man." That's so pissed. This Korean guy deserved a Nobel Prize for being the bravest man on the face of the earth. Because he was literally half this dude's height. And this guy was ripped, dude. Like, he was a big guy. Like, he looked like he could have picked this dude up and just snapped him over his knee like a stick.
Wow.
It was unreal. And the guy was not intimidated at all. In fact, he had a newspaper he was reading as he was walking past him and just threw that line at him while reading a newspaper and didn't look up after the guy yelled at him. It was incredible. I've never seen that kind of courage.
Well, I'm going to be in D.C. sometime in the next 2 months.
Oh, shit. Does that mean a live podcast?
We could do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going to be there to record. Well, actually, this is crazy, but I think in the next, between now and December, I'll be here in Texas. I'll be in Denver, Colorado, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and L.A. So, it's going to
be crazy. It's going to be nuts. You're the Globetrotter, dog.
I don't know. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be weird, you know?
Yeah, but it's good you're getting work, though. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm fed. I'm turning people away right now.
Yeah, boy. You're getting that bread, you know? Yeah. Well, getting out every day.
Huh? Well, it's just
getting
like,
getting out every day.
After being a hoe for so long, now that I'm turning people away, there's guilt that happens. I'm just like, oh, man, he's not going to fuck me over. Oh.
Damn it. I'm so used to someone not paying me enough.
It's like,
it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I feel like, I don't know. It just, that's how it is with everything in life. Like, the moment you get, like, you get used to just being treated like shit, right?
Yeah.
And then the moment you're not, you're like, wait a second, something must be wrong here. I'm not being treated like shit right now.
It's like, oh, my asshole isn't sore anymore.
Right. Huh. It was a little more difficult for me to shit than it normally is. What's going on?
Like, I need to see a doctor.
your rectum just barely adjusts to the new normal, and then something else comes along and bones you again.
Yeah, it's just like 10 times worse.
Just like, yes, it hurts way worse. Yeah, damn it. I've been through this before, but somehow it still hurts.
So I don't remember it like this.
It's terrible. It's the absolute worst. That happens with comedy all the time. Last week on Sunday, I went up and I did two shows back to back. And the first one, like, was great. Like, I had new jokes that worked fine, tags that went great. Fantastic. Walked off at the best laugh of the night. I walked off, right, for me, right?
Right.
And then the next, I was feeling amazing, right? And so I walk off, and then I go on not an hour later and just eat the biggest bag of shit that I've ever eaten. Oh, my God, I bombed so hard. Like, they didn't like me. The jokes, like, I got probably two laughs, maybe three, over a five-minute period. And most of them were from one table that I had kind of on my side. And everyone else was just like, this guy is fucking bizarre. Like, they weren't feeling me at all. But it was just so funny because it was like the highest high and then the lowest low, like right afterwards. I was like, man, this is just life, you know? Or it's like, you know, that guy who was the chairman of the EPA for a while, for Trump? He was out of Oklahoma. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, Scott Pruitt.
Yeah, Scott Pruitt, dude. This guy was... Yeah, the shrimp miner. Scott Pruitt, man. He was just getting used to life, living in the White House or whatever the fuck he was doing.
Eating as many shrimp as he could.
Yeah, he's having all the cocktail sauce in the world. Mm-hmm. He was just laying there in the lap of luxury, calling the Trump Hotel, seeing if he could get himself a used mattress because he worked for the administration. And then all of a sudden, like, he gets fired.
Can you imagine? They
fired him for that. Like, imagine getting fired for wanting a stained mattress.
Imagine getting fired from the administration that no one wants to be in. That's how
that everyone
awful
else
you
has
are.
Quit.
Yeah, like everyone else is just like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, it's like when you get fired from a McDonald's or something, and you're like, what? That's a pretty low. That's when I worked at Home Depot. I never wanted to get fired, and it wasn't because I loved my job. It's just, how bad am I going to feel if I get fired from a Home Depot?
That's like, true.
Like, even they don't want me, you know?
Imagine,
like,
how unhireable am I about getting fired from Primitive Social.
Did you feel that bad?
No, I did some soul searching. I was like,
I don't
damn,
know, man.
This place
That's
sucks.
Different because it was like a big boy job, you know? Like,
it was a big boy job. And you know what's crazy is like how awesome things are now, I guess. Hey, John, I'm getting a phone call. And I hate to do this, but
no, it's fine. Let's record another one in a minute.
Yeah, let's
record
we're gonna
take
the other half. Okay. It might be a little bit. Okay.
No rush. Bye.
All right, bye. And we're back.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm just driving around.
Nice. I'm walking around, so I'm better for the planet than you are, aren't I? That's what I do now.
You
moved
are.
To a city, and now I'm going to out-woke everybody. Isn't that cool?
Your carbon footprint is like Cinderella.
It's so small, honestly, yeah. And you're like the stepsister that keeps trying to squeeze that thing on, you know?
It's
and that
true.
Bad boy's not going to fit those bactos, you know?
Yeah, my carbon footprint's all hairy and more like Hobbit.
Your carbon footprint is mostly fungus, if we're being honest.
That's true. My podiatrist has been telling me.
Fun segue. Oh, wait, what? That's something else.
That's what my high school coach was. Your feet just like piss on your feet in the shower.
What? Did he really?
Yeah, and I think that's an actual...
No way. That's
like,
for
solution.
No, that's for when a fucking jellyfish stings you.
Urine is like very useful. I mean, just talk to Bear Grylls.
What?
You know, it can be a drink. It can be a medicine. It can like, you know, get you out of like.
My favorite thing about the Bear Grylls thing is that he did it. He didn't have to do it. Like, there was water bottles, right? He could have just said, and if you're in a dangerous situation, you can just drink your piss. He didn't have to say that. Like, he could have just said that and then not drunk the piss. But instead, he chose to drink piss on TV. So,
that's true.
Now it's that's really... the most famous thing about him is that he drank piss one time. Not that he survived all those things. That he drank piss willingly for no reason.
Multiple times. It wasn't just one time. It was like, they were like, hey, you don't have to do that anymore. And he's like, it's just parched.
Which is worse, drinking piss in a desert climate where it's hot, or drinking piss when it's frozen, like piss-sickles?
I would say when it's hot. When it's cold, it just goes down a little bit faster.
You think so? Because if it's cold and frozen, you have to chew it up. So you've actually got to get more of the flavor in your mouth, right?
Oh, I don't want to think about chewing up a piss-sickle.
It's somehow so much worse than drinking warm piss.
I think a little cold is better than anything.
Speaking of piss, have you heard about the chicken sandwich debacle going down on Twitter?
Huh?
The chicken sandwich debacle.
Oh,
Twitter's been...
yeah. Tell me about it, man. Okay.
So, yeah, go ahead. Break it down for us.
I'm like... what is this Popeye's chicken sandwich about? So I go to Popeye's, I have it, and it's freaking great. It's really good. Mm-hmm. The crust is thicker than, I would say, chicken.
Interesting.
If you're being from the South, mm-hmm. It's definitely, like, more Southern fried, like, style.
Okay.
And it's so, just like,
real crispy.
Yeah, it's just a huge sandwich, a huge chicken breast, two pickles, mayonnaise, this other sauce, and like really thick buns, and it's
so
good.
Like very, very a la Chick-fil-A.
I would say like it came in an aluminum foil thing.
Wow,
like that.
It was like literally Chick-fil-A.
It's a carbon copy of Chick-fil-A.
Wow,
but I would say.
But you can get Cajun fries with it.
Mm. Yeah, you can get Cajun fries.
You
can
get the Cajun fries.
Maybe pick up some shrimp.
Interesting. Mm. So, let me ask you this. So, if in a blind test, you feel like you could tell the difference?
Definitely.
Okay.
The
bun.
The crust.
Okay, the crust is the big difference there. So, the bun. Was the bun buttery like it is at Chick-fil-A?
The bun's good. I don't know if it would be buttery, but... It's a lot thicker than... It's like Chick-fil-A's bun is like a cheap, like, dollar store bun. And then Popeye's bun is like a Baird's, which is a brand here in Texas, a Baird's, like, bun.
Like a backyard grilling type bun.
Yeah, it's like a... But yeah, it's... pretty authentic, as they say.
So as far as like store-bought bread goes, it's probably one notch above.
Yeah, okay. I would say so.
But was it buttered? Because that's one of the big things at Chick-fil-A is the bun is buttered every time. Because I think that'd be a big deal for me.
I don't know if it's buttered.
Okay.
But I do know that there's less moral conflict with purchasing from Popeyes.
This could be another question I was going to ask. Because I feel like at this point, there's a certain demographic that eats at Chick-fil-A literally just because they do terrible things. Like, wait a second. Yeah. I'm going to open up a store, and it's going to be called Chick-fil-A, only we don't hate gay people. And it's just going to be the exact same thing as Chick-fil-A, down to, like, the Christian music and everything, except we don't donate money towards shooting gay people or whatever they do.
Yeah, I think they fund, like... You know, like conversion
shoot a gay person day
stuff. And,
yeah,
you know, like they're fiercely anti-LGBT.
They don't like them.
BT.
They're not big fans.
Huh?
They're not big fans, as it turns out.
They're not. And you know, what's really interesting is how overtly Christian they are in Christian communities, like in Utah, which I wouldn't say that they're Christian, but that's a different. The Mormon community, but like they got like videos of like people rapping about Chick-fil-A and salvation in the same lines, you know,
rapping about Chick-fil-A and salvation. What do you mean?
Look,
like they have that. So back up. So we got Mormon hip-hop groups now.
Mormon hip-hop groups rapping about Chick-fil-A.
What does it sound like? Like, give me some bars. Let's spit some rhymes right now.
Okay.
Mm-ch. Inch, 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 inch,
Joseph Smith died in the church. But this, I don't know, I'm not. Where's Kendall?
Joseph Smith died in the church. But this is done. Pickle, fickle, you could rhyme that.
I don't know.
Let's sing some
rhymes.
These
pickles aren't fickle when it comes to this nickel plate.
Oh, snap. You throwing something dirty, you know, to keep it edgy?
Dickle.
Oh no, you couldn't play that in church though.
But that's what Kendrick Lamar does. He's like his
so religious.
It's very Christian.
Wow.
And, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not anti-Christian or anything like that, but it's like what's funny is how he turns it. He's like, "But if I was a drunk again, I would be doing all this horrible, horrible, horrible stuff." And like and he's just like describing all the horrible things he would do.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, "But I'm not like that."
So funny. He's one of those.
Like, and I got God on my side.
He's very specific too. He's a black Israelite, right? Which is like a different breed,
oh,
you know?
He is?
I didn't know that. No, yeah, he's way into it, dog. So he's,
wow.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of black Israelites in DC. So you'll see him around. Like,
I've met a couple.
they're pretty interesting, but like they have very different beliefs, you know, and like they're just really, really into it. So like I'll say probably they're some of the most intently religious people I've ever met.
Like I dig into this because it's
not... No, it's really interesting. Okay, so I'll break it down for you, right? So their belief set, and somebody contact me if I'm not Hotep enough on this. Their belief set is basically that like that the children of Israel and the tribes are different minorities that are kind of like around the world, right? Mm. And that and it depends obviously because they don't all agree on it and shit. But there are different 12 tribes, right? And so they think that like, you know, Hispanic people are of one tribe and that black people are of one tribe and that, you know, like Asian people are of another, like, you know what I mean? Like they think all of these different things. And then they think that a lot of like the Bible stories like took place in Africa. So like that a lot of it happened there. So that, and then like, I mean, there's just all sorts of different things and they disagree on stuff. So it's not like a uniform deal, but you'll see them all around the place. So on the one hand, they're fiercely like, I guess you could say progressive on some things, but then they also like really don't like gay people, a lot of them. So like, I don't know. It's very weird. Like they'll have signs up sometimes. It'll be like Trump is an F word, you know?
So like, they're just... you're saying there's some like weird, like, black Israelites that are pro Chick-fil-A, like they would choose Chick-fil-A over Popeyes.
Yeah, they're so conflicted when they eat there because on the one hand they hate black people, but on the other hand they also hate gay people.
Yeah, so. And like they're really Christian, and like we're kind of Christian too. So.
Yeah, right. There's a weird overlap there.
Wow,
it's so funny.
And then it's also you have the conflict of like Popeyes and their exploitation of African American community for their marketing.
You know? Right, right. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a chicken joint and it's called We Didn't Hurt Anybody. And all you do is you come in and you order your chicken. And then after you're finished with your meal, we take your money and we dump it in an incinerator out back and burn it. Your money didn't go to anything bad.
Wow. I'm just burning money now.
Yeah, that's the plan. We're just going to burn money.
What if it's like Chipotle style where they got the chicken, but like the chickens aren't like slaughtered yet, so you just go in, you pick out the chicken you want, and they fucking
slaughter pick it a chick.
Yeah, pick a chick.
Yeah, dog. Like, pick hey, a chick, you know, baby. Let's go.
It's like, I like that.
How do you want it done? Quick and painless, like, or slow and painful?
It's like,
how you like your chicken?
I'll choose the number 3 with that little fat chicken right there, but with a sign of asphyxiation. And
oh, yeah, please. And can you strangle it at the table in front of me? Can you rip its head off in a motion and let it run around in a circle, squawking, looking for its old head?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. It's, cool. It's like $13.95.
Can you put it on the rotisserie while it's still alive and watch it slowly burn to death? Is that something you can do for me?
Well,
wow. They're just burning. They're watching a chicken burn alive. Yeah. Going, well, thank
Saturdays
God
is usually our burn this. Day, but we'll make an exception.
Saturdays. They have Flame and Saturday specials. Yeah. Nice. Really? The flaming chicken scene, which is a little different here than it is at a Burger King.
You know, last time you, like, really charred it, can you, like, be a little, you know, I like mine a little bit less cooked. Is that...
Cook it as much as possible. Really just burn the hell out of it.
Oh, it's like, what God. Do you have at your table? What is this stuff? Oh, you know, it's just like my voodoo.
You really seem to want to hurt this chicken. Don't even mention it. I'm taking out my childhood trauma on some poultry.
What do you do with the bones afterwards?
Can we potentially desecrate them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'll
grind them into a pulp and make sure they suffer too.
I'll also have the chicken blood shake.
Wow. Sounds delicious. That sounds like a Shake Shack.
Yeah, it's like not to be confused with their Bloody Mary.
But
so good. It was cage free until it got here, and then it was very much caged.
Yeah, that's funny. Or it's like they have the cage free section. It's just like kids playing in the chicken pen. Yes. It's like the McDonald's like play place.
Yeah, a little kid runs out just covered in chicken shit.
Yeah, it's just like so disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that one Howard. Well, Howard's going to the burner. They just skewer Howard and start cooking it slowly over a rotisserie.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'll have that boneless chicken right there. Just pour it into my cup.
They have a Slurpee machine. It just says boneless chicken on it. Just a bunch of pureed birds. Oh my god.
I would say so nasty. Getting back to chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Back to the important things.
If you're going to vote on a business with your dollars,
yep. Do we vote for Popeyes or we vote for Chick-fil-A?
Just. I'm not going to say one or the other because I'm eating Chick-fil-A right now, and this is why I'm eating Chick-fil-A, because I drove by the Popeyes and the line was so long. I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just going to go to Chick-fil-A."
So you care, but only as long as the line is.
Yeah, as long you as care, it's convenient for me.
God, that's the real thing we care about here, Daniel, is it going to be convenient enough for you to keep it up?
Yeah. Well,
it reminds me of what they said. I mean, it makes sense. It reminds me of what they said about LimeWire back in the day, when people kept stealing music, and they're like, the moment people will quit stealing music is when it's easier for them to pay for it. And that's 100% right, because now you have Pandora and Spotify and shit and Apple Music. They take $8 out of your account every month.
Yeah.
And then you listen to all the music you want for free with, like, well, free, but pay for it, but with no ads. So it's like, you know, they wound up putting people in a place where they're like, I can't afford not to do it this way. Like, I can't possibly be in a position where I'm having to worry about fucking downloading shit and making sure all the names on it are correct and everything.
Right.
It was such a pain in the ass to steal the music. They made it easy for you to not steal the music. And now you'd rather just pay the little bit of money that it takes to do it.
You know,
so what I'm saying is Chick-fil-A needs to get its shit together. So, hot take.
That's a great segue for me to plug my own album that I just put out.
Yes.
Go out and listen to it. It's called 4 Years Ago in Lubbock by IVADP. It's a very, I would say it's, you just put it up, you know, it's music that you can do work to, you know, or just like, kind of like forget about. Just put
it's
it
super
up.
Super chill.
And, yeah, it is. Very chill. It was designed to be that way. Yeah.
It's cool shit, man. It's funny because I've been listening to Pizza. We played a lot of it on Jokes So Funny, too.
Yeah, we have.
Go back to, like, some of the older episodes. One of the songs in particular was an intro for a long time. We played Salt for, like, probably 6 episodes in a row.
Yeah, we did.
Like, as the intro. So if you like the music you heard on Jokes So Funny, you check it out there. It's good shit. Support an artist.
But, you know, what's interesting, like, to kind of build on that whole thing about, like, the access and paying for it and all other stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually released that album on Bandcamp because there was a period of time between when I sent it. There was like a 4 or 5 week period between when I sent it in to the publisher for them to distribute it and all that. So I was like, okay, well, I'll self-release on Bandcamp. So if people, like my friends or family, want to support me, they can just go on there and just buy the album.
And, for sure.
You know, and the benefit of having on Bandcamp is that it's like, this is like the studio quality, the highest audio format like that I can put out, you know, so
for sure.
It's really high quality audio. That's how I hear it at home. And nobody bought it. They waited for it to hit streaming.
Oh my
God. And I was like, oh, damn. Like,
that's maybe terrible.
Maybe I need to be better at like how I advertise myself. But, like, nobody, people were like, I'll just wait for it to hit Apple Music or whatever.
That's so funny. Yeah. No, I mean, that sucks.
It's okay. It's fine. Because what's really great is that this music was written for that YouTube series. And I have, I already have, like, hundreds of thousands of plays from
Dollars.
Our podcast,
the other podcasts that I produce, the YouTube series. So the royalties are going to start coming in from this place. So I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Dude, this is the artist's fucking demise, though. Yeah. Because it's like the moment I think of a good joke and I tweet it out, it is immediately gone. It's gone. It's not even that it's stolen, dude. It's that worthless. Because you tell it and you try and tell it 2 minutes later and people are like, sucks. You already told that joke. It's fucking worthless. After you hear a joke one time, you never want to hear it again. It's maybe, and the only value you get from that joke again is years later when you're thinking, yeah, hey, remember that dumb joke? That's literally it. Like, even stand-up specials, dude, I can rewatch them, but I don't love them. You know what I mean? I don't love them the way that I do the first time I watched a special. You know? Music, you can go back to. Like, I'll listen to an album probably 40 times.
Yeah. You know,
some of them in a year. Like, I listened to Pet Sounds probably 15 times this year. No problem. But, like, I can't possibly do that. My favorite stand-up specials, I can't do that shit with. Because it loses all edge the moment it's over. So, it's like, it's such bullshit. Because you put so much work into putting something funny out there. And then the moment you're done with it, it's like, where's the next one, bitch?
But there are some great bits out there, like some really classic stuff, you know? Like, I like watching old, like, watching is old late night TV. Like, Johnny Carson, some of those older guys. And seeing, like,
sure,
I don't know, like, some of the celebrities that I remembered growing up, you know, that are not here with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Interviews and stuff. Because
what?
Interviews.
Yeah,
back in the day, they used to be a little bit looser and more genuine. It's like, for some reason, it's turning into just marketing speak now. And like, my favorite thing is how, like, we watch, like, I can watch all these interviews of people talking about these movies that are about to come out, like Star Wars or, you know, any MCU thing. And it's like, they never answer any questions about the movie the whole time, but they're talking about it, but they're not saying anything about it. And it's so frustrating.
Well, probably because they can't, right?
Like, a strange dilemma.
That's so weird. Well, it's the weirdest thing is when I was watching this video last night about this celebrity that went on to Reddit and did an AMA, and he basically did nothing but plug the movie the whole time he was there, right? He had a new movie that had come out. And so they asked him, what was your most challenging role? And he replied with the character in this new movie that's coming out. Like, he treated an AMA, which is designed to disclose as much honesty as possible. Like, that's the real selling power of it. He treated it like he would have a trip to, you know, Fallon, you know, where you just say bullshit and then, hey, let's play, you know, Minesweeper or whatever for 15 minutes, get a couple laughs off of that, and then we're done. Like, that's, you know, that's how he wanted to treat it. And when he wasn't honest with people, they flipped out. So, like, everything that he commented on there got completely downvoted. Like, there wasn't anything that was visible by the time it was done because they had downloaded everything into oblivion. So, like, it was just funny because it's like what people's expectation is of an interview has completely changed again.
I think,
which I feel like you're right, no, dude, because, like, it wasn't that way before.
Like, I watched this, like, yeah, I watched this interview Carson where, like, wasn't that Dick, way. Dick Van Dyke was talking about his struggle with alcoholism, and, like, you could tell that dude was, like,
oh shit,
not 100%, you know, like, in that interview even. And, but it was just so raw and honest and kind, like, the way he was presenting, like, this information. And of course, there's so much more better information now than there was, like, in the 70s when he was talking about it.
Dick Van Dyke talking about alcoholism. He brings up tripping over the couch, and he's like, "Oh, is that why you tripped over the couch, Dick?" Like, he was just wasted every episode. Every episode, what? It wasn't even one recording.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm talking about on the Dick Van Dyke show?
No, I was just
okay. So the Dick Van Dyke show had this clip at the beginning of every episode, which is the intro. It's the Dick Van Dyke show, you know, and he would come into the living room, and the big funny part of the intro is he would trip over the couch. So,
but he was really like just a funny drunk. Bit, but like,
yeah, he was just an alcoholic. So it was shot live every time. He just kept tripping over the damn couch.
That's really funny. Poor guy. Rest in peace.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I, well, but I think you're he's right, still dude. Alive. Yeah, rest in peace. No doubt. I was watching. I feel like he's definitely dead, right? If he's alive, he's 135 years old. Gotta be, right? Like, he was old when Dick Van Dyke was coming out. But anyway, what he was in the 101 Dalmatians movie when I was a kid, and he looked pretty old in that.
But, like, you know, watching those old interviews, shit, especially like, I, with, like, celebrities that are still around, it's like, damn, life is long. You know, that was a totally different time. It puts my own life into perspective, because even right now, it's like, just to get a little existential on the last part of this episode, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, times are changing so quickly. I was trying to...
Well, and people's expectations have changed too, you know? Like, you want to be entertained immediately, but it's like, the moment you are, the value's lost. It's just crazy thinking about how, like, with comics, what happens is they get so used to watching comedy that they just stop laughing at a certain... Like, they don't... You know, and the shit that used to make them laugh doesn't make them laugh as much as it used to. And I wonder sometimes if that's happening to society as a whole, because they're just constantly being bombarded by shit, you know? Like...
With information?
Yeah, like, they're just in a different place, you know?
Well, yeah, and it's just, like, people just get left behind, you know? Like, I was, like, hanging out with my brother, and I was, like, making this... I was doing some work, and we were just smoking a joint, sitting in, you know, my office, and I was just kind of... I, like, looked at him, and it, like, hit me really hard. He was just swiping on his phone, like, just, you know, and I watched him for, like, 10 minutes, like, just doing that.
It's crazy.
My thought was, oh, shit, like, he doesn't make things, you know, like, with a computer. Uh-huh. Like, he doesn't do anything like that. He has a blue-collar job, which is fine.
It's crazy.
But it also, I could tell, like, there was, I could see that there was this, you know, separation between, like, our lives, like, in our path, you know, in that moment. And he's my twin, so that's really meaningful to me. You know, I guess other people, it's not that way. But, you know, growing up, you think, oh, we're all going to be in the same socioeconomic status. Like, you know, everybody's the same, you know, that sort of thing. But I could get the sense of, like, my brother being left behind.
Yeah.
Because he's not. He's not
doing something for a computer.
Well, he's not technologically educated. He doesn't have those skills, you know? Like, a computer for him is just to consume media.
It's crazy.
Which is most people.
Right.
And it just really, like, I was like, oh, shit. And I just said to him, you know, like, as I was pressing the joint, I was like, dude, you don't make shit with a computer, do you? And he goes, yeah, it's just never interested me.
That's so crazy.
I was like, wow.
They're just so fucked. Like, that whole group of people is just so fucked by the fact that you don't know how to work a goddamn computer.
Yeah, if you don't work your computer,
crazy.
Like, you aren't going to participate in the future. Like, there's no place for you.
Well, it's like, freaks me out. It's like the Andrew Yang thing, where he's like, we should just give $1,000 a month to everybody. Because it's like, think how bullshit this is, right? A mom has a kid that has Down syndrome, and then she spends most of her life taking care of this fucking kid, right? And like, she's glad that she did like
that, but
no, but think about it, right? Like, she spends her life taking care of this kid, which is, you know, wonderful that she does that. And she sees
sacrifice,
right? But this, I'm not saying her sacrifice or the kid is what's bullshit, right?
Yeah,
this
I'm not trying bullshit. To trip you up, but go ahead. I'm sorry
no,
if that
this, yeah, no, no. So she spends her whole life taking care of this kid, right? And then what happens, right? She doesn't get paid a dime for it. Right? Yeah. No money at all was she given for taking care of this kid. You know? Like, she spends her life doing this. Like, she commits years of her life. And then, like, when she's old, she does, like, unless she's going to have someone else take care of her, because she spent her whole life trying to raise this kid. You know? Like, doing the, being the caretaker for that person, right? And we're telling that person that societally, monetarily, they're worthless. You know, like, they provide zero value to society for doing that, you know? Like, I don't know, man. That's a tough thing to say, you know?
And it is tough.
God, well, it's hard.
It's a very humanist sort of like perspective, you know, because it's like we have to be careful, like, especially in our capitalistic society. And I'm not arguing in favor. Like, this is an argument against capitalism. I love capitalism.
Well, but, because you love money.
Well, I need money. I don't love it, but I need it.
Daniel Duckett's Clayton over here.
Well, it's like, where's the cash?
The other day, like, the other stop day wasting I called, my time. This is completely off the record. The other day, I called Daniel, and I was like, what you doing today? And he's like, oh, out robbing poor people. I was like, ah, cool. And then we high-fived over the phone.
Yeah, we like I did. Like I had a guy right in front of me. I was like, take off your pants. Give him some. Really,
wait, just his pants? You didn't want his wallet? You could have just handed him his wallet, man. Daniel. Levi's are not worth that much. Yeah, you just wanted to see that guy naked. That's all that was.
Do you remember those dollar store jeans I used to wear at the office?
Yeah. Daniel used to wear the shittiest jeans around.
It
was bizarre. Like they weren't they were not a cut. They were just denim that he had wrapped around his loins. That was literally all it was. They weren't thin cut, they weren't slim cut, they weren't anything.
They were just cut.
They were just barely cut off the cotton plant. Dyed blue, cut off the cotton plant, and here they are protecting Daniel from the outside world. It was so weird.
Yeah, and I wore them with pride. I didn't have any shame.
Yeah, no shame. But well, yeah, you're right. Like, the capitalism thing and shit. Like,
You have to be able to, like, accurately evaluate the value of things, right? And I don't think we're not placing enough stock and value in people. And we're putting a lot of value into things.
Right.
And we're not putting value into our relationship with the environment.
Yeah.
We're just pulling from that bank account.
Right.
And we're not putting into it. And
yeah, man.
And so it's like the system only works because everything is connected. And if you realize that, you know, the system will fail if you don't realize that everything has a value, everything has a relationship to each other. And how you make money is by exploiting, not in a negative way, but exploiting that value in those connections, you know, sometimes in a negative way. But
like, ideally, the way you would make money is by producing something that makes people's lives better, you know, that's the idea, you know,
is all this media making our lives easier or better?
I don't know, man.
I don't think so.
A podcast, making it, you know what I mean? It's like this whole thing where it's like, yeah, it's all connected in some way. Or is like people writing jokes, like making people better, you know, like I think the answer is yes, you know, but is it making people's better lives better? Or, you know, but like that's the other thing too, is I don't know. There's just a lot of waste and a lot of people are just like what they'll do is they'll get to a point where it's like, this is so many jobs that I know, right? Especially in the United States. You're not like making money because you're picking peppers in a field and no one wants to pick peppers, right? You're making money because you convinced people that your job was for some reason significant, right? And then you get people who like get these gigs where they're making good money and they're not really doing anything for society. Oh, they're just like sitting there clicking buttons, you know? And all that money could have gone towards people who are actually doing something for society. You know, that's a huge problem, you know? Or then you get people who like did one thing and then they sit on top of this pile of cash. And they're just there permanently, you know, and then their money just stays there and then it goes to their kids and then their kids get it. And then, you know, like that's bullshit, too. Like, you're not generating any good for society anymore. You know, like you've done your part, you know, like it's done. You know, that's why, like, as much as like a not big on tax guy as I am, like I get it when people are like, yeah, an estate tax makes sense. You know, I mean, obviously, if like your kid can't take care of themselves for some reason, then that's a different thing. But like, you know, at a certain point, you got to say, hey, that guy's gone. Like, we need to. But then think about this, right? Think about how, like, if we take the money and we give it over to, like, the government and shit, what's to say they don't take it and then hand it to another rich person, you know? Because a lot of times that's what happens, you know? Like, think about, like, the farm bill and shit, where, like, they hand out all of this money that's for the farmers, quote unquote. And then most of it goes into the hands of, like, a couple of corporations that wind up running the farms. And that's why, like, the number of farmers has gone down year after year after year, you know, despite technology not really, like, changing exponentially over the last like 20 or 30 years, you know, like,
yeah,
it's just, it's crazy because you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, farmers are getting fucked right now.
Everybody's getting fucked right now, dude. Yeah. Everybody's getting fucked right now. Everybody's fucking everybody else over, you know, it's this whole like twisted mess. Anyway, glad you guys enjoyed the podcast. Please tune in next week when we'll be talking about global warming and how we're all going to boil in the Pacific like a bunch of ugly lobsters.
You're going to boil. I'm going to. I'm going to cook.
Joke's so funny. You're all going to die, kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you can always like give us money. Like if you like show.
If you like the show, you can always
give us
money. You gave us your ears. That's really all we need. If you just listen to the advertisements, that's literally all we need. Like just listen to the people who do pay money for the show and like get your friends to listen to the podcast and then you're supporting us. And then, you know, we'll make more of this and then it's a symbiotic thing. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. You people are tuning
this
in, not
this
me.
This is
you know?
What I do with the money from Joke So Funny.
Let's hear it.
I call my weed guy. I'm like, yo, here you go. And it just goes into the system.
Yeah.
I get to roll and
nice.
Everything's good.
And nice.
And that's then exactly you, what I did then, with the last check I got from Joke So Funny.
And then to support society, what you do is you go and you try and hit the Popeyes, but then the line's too long, so you hit the Chick-fil-A.
That's exactly what I did.
I was like, fuck this shit. Dollar amount was almost exactly the same, too.
What?
I bet the dollar amount was almost exactly the same, too.
Oh, yeah. I spent $8.
It's great. Now you know what our revenue is over here.
Yeah. Our revenue is small, and you can help us reconcile that.
By telling your friends about the podcast.
Yeah, sharing the podcast and subscribing and
commenting on shit. Oh, hitting a 5-star button on iTunes is big. That
really
helps.
We're doing
that's big. Okay. Yeah, just do it. Like, just, I mean, like, it's not, leave positive comments on shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, at least it makes us feel good. Fuck it, you know?
I remember this comment we got on, like, because I've talked so much about my life on this podcast. And we got this comment one time. It was like, wow, it's so great that you were able to overcome so much adversity in your life. And this is, like, really deep thing. It's like, so if you listen back to some of the older episodes, you'll get a better history of me and John's life and get to connect with us. And I hope that helped that person, and because we're here to help you feel better. You know?
Well, it was just really cool because it was like the other thing she mentioned in that was like she was just happy that we were unfiltered as much as we – like we just said anything. Anything and everything. Like we've – like, we filter ourselves a little bit more now, but not much, you know? Like, it's pretty much the same shit, you know?
We figured out the limit of how to not, where not to go.
The line today
will never, ever release.
Yeah, there are some that are dead forever.
Yeah.
But it's funny now because that's a whole market. Like, there's this podcast called Cumtown, and it's just these three comics, and they make thousands of dollars, and they just sit around and talk about whatever, just like, I mean, they haven't talked about eating frozen piss sickles. That's our specialty.
Yeah,
but everything
tame.
But literally everything but that they've done. The podcast name is Cumtown, dude.
Yeah,
like they do all of it.
We're the Chick-fil-A version of Cumtown.
Sure. No. We're the Popeyes version of Cumtown. We're toned down a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like if you want the full, you go up there. Or are we? No, we're the better version of it. We're like the new iteration of it. So it's like, it's Cumtown extra crispy. That's what we do. And we may not butter the buns.
We're Cumtown Epstein edition.
Wait, what? Oh my God.
Like, buckets of
holy shit. Oh my God.
All right. So gross. Let's end on buckets of cum.
Okay.
All right.
Why will we plug your show real quick? If you're in DC, come out Friday, Cafe St. X. I'll be out there. Should be a lot of fun. And I co-host that. So if Martin Phillips, who's hysterical, you should check him out. He has a great podcast. I think it's called The Martin Show. And you can check that on CastBox or where the fuck ever.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, he's really funny, dude. He's hysterical. Yeah. So I'm the DH for that show. So I help him host it. And then sometimes he's sick. So like a week or two ago, he works at a school, and he fell off a desk and like cut himself, and so he had to go to the doctor. And so I wound up hosting the show. So if you're there, I'll definitely do a spot. And, you know, if Martin wants to fall off a desk again, then I'll wind up being the host of it. So, you know, that's cool.
Hey, any way to get ahead.
There you go. You know, or, you know, if somebody comes to a school and pushes him off a desk, you know, even if he's not standing or sitting on one, then, you know, shit happens. What are you going to say?
Or if he's asleep in his bed and you're in his house, just punch him.
Yeah. Martin broke his elbow. Oh, how do you do that? John really wanted to host the show tonight.
It's like a Tonya Harding.
for a stupid show in a basement.
He couldn't make it today because I broke his hands.
That's
and
terrible.
Then he shows up and he's got a lapel mic on. It's like, motherfucker.
Only in order to hide myself, I pretend it was the Russian mob. So I'm walking up doing my shitty Russian accent. Martin Phillips, you must die for the motherland. Hit his kneecaps as hard as I can with a fucking hammer. Oh my god.
That's funny.
Crazy. Okay, well, thanks for listening, guys. We love you.